we be casting off now?
This is Appa, my flying bison.
Right. And this is Katara, my flying sister.
He's crazy.
You know what I love about Appa the most? His sense of humor.
Nobody react to what I'm about to tell you. I think that kid might be the Avatar.
Ugh. It tastes like onion and banana juice.
Actually, it smells delicious. I love a bowl.
Take that, you rock.
We used to be a great society before you killed our leader. Now look at us.
Look here, Sugar Queen.
Sugar Queen?
Uncle, I need 2 jasmine, 1 green, and 1 lychee.
I'm brewing as fast as I can.
I don't need any calming tea.
I'm completely calm.
I must find the Avatar to restore my honor.
It's okay. You can laugh.
It's funny. Nice speech, Azula. It was pretty and poetic, but also scary in a good way.
Should we do something?
Hey, I'm just enjoying the show.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for donglufang.net. I'm Dylan, and today I'm joined by Jake.
Hey, everybody.
Just to be clear, Jake is cool today. So I'm going to be calling him Jake.
Yeah, I'm also the founder of...
Okay, some technicalities here. Any questions, comments, or advice, you can go to us by clicking on the feedback link, which can be found at the podcast page at donglufang.net/FTSW. Send us questions about Avatar you have so we can answer them in the mailbag segment that we'll have once we start getting emails. We apologize for an error we made in the last podcast. Warning, what I'm about to say and the first discussion topic, which will be right after this today, might be considered a spoiler for Season 3 and the season finale of Season 2. It has been brought to my attention that Aang did indeed die from Azula's lightning blast, and it is inferred that he was then brought back to life by Katara's healing using the Spirit Oasis water. This is coming from Jake's Contact, which is a very reliable source. Today's podcast will be a little out of order. We'll first have our first discussion topic, which will be about that Aang died in the season finale of Season 2. We'll then have Avatar news, Donglufang news, our second discussion topic will be school time shipping, and our third discussion topic will be the first 4 episodes of Season 2. Now to our first discussion topic.
This is a special segment being brought to you before the Avatar news today. We're going out of order because this is huge. To recap, my contact within Nickelodeon, who works on the Avatar program, he's very reliable. We are making none of this up, we want to stress, and Aang has died in the season finale. He did, in fact, die from Azula's lightning blast. Katara did bring him back using the Spirit Oasis water. Okay, well, Dylan, how do you think this is possible?
Well, what happened with Aang dying is indeed very possible. Azula shot him down when he was at his weakest, which was in the Avatar state, and with probably the strongest attack of all, the lightning.
Well, yeah, and even if you just look at the intro to the episode where they have the previously on segment, if you remember, it did have, in the beginning there, the scene with Avatar Roku telling Aang that he's at his most vulnerable, and that if killed in the Avatar state, then the Avatar line will cease to exist.
Yeah, a little foreshadowing here.
Yeah. Those previously on segments do tend to give out some spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Now that we know how this could have happened and actually did happen, there are many things that could result from this. First, if Aang was in the Avatar state when he died, he could be the last airbender as well as the last Avatar.
Katara revived Aang using the Spirit Oasis water. She essentially brought back not only Aang, but also the line of Avatars.
Mm-hmm, and... there's also, on the opposite side, if Aang was not yet in the Avatar state when he died, which could have been possible, a new Avatar could have been reborn, and then there'd be 2 Avatars since Aang was brought back to life.
And then there's also the fact that a new Avatar was not yet born, and wouldn't be born since Aang was brought back to life by Katara.
Okay, so, which of these happened, you think?
I would say the first one did in fact happen. Katara brought back Aang, and she brought back the line of the Avatars. I don't think the entire Avatar line is now dead.
I think that since Aang didn't open the last chakra, I don't think he was in the Avatar state yet either. So I think those go hand in hand. So
yeah, that's true.
And it would be interesting plot twist if another Avatar was reborn and there are two Avatars, but I just think that a new Avatar wasn't born and he wasn't in the Avatar state yet. So, like, the least exciting of them.
Now, if you do recall, the next Avatar would be in the Water Tribe. And Master Paku is now in the Southern Tribe with Kana.
That's true, so they know really either way. Either of those tribes could tell if there's another Avatar.
Yes.
And anyway, either if any four of these happen, any ramification would be very big, especially if Aang was the last Avatar, and probably more so that if there are two Avatars.
And would they bring the new Avatar into the picture, or just mention him in the show?
Because Aang would be done with the Fire Nation by the time that new Avatar was actually old enough to be an impact.
Yeah.
That could also maybe be a plot line for Season 4, or a follow-up show.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of interesting stuff there. Now we're going to move on to the Avatar news. Now for the Avatar news. There's a new animated short called School Time Shipping, which can be found at nick.com/avatarshort. The password to access the short is Ko. In the credits of the short, the voice actor for Iroh is listed as Greg Baldwin. His talent agency, which is SBB, has also made an announcement saying he will be the new voice actor for Iroh in Season 3 and beyond. The first episode title for Season 3 has been announced. It will be The Awakening. Season 3 is likely to start showing in September of 2007. Now for the Dongu Feng news.
Alright, this week in Dongu Feng news. Dongu Feng will be having an elemental week from March 5th through the 9th. We'll have scavenger hunts every day, as well as live trivia, and we'll reveal a contest winner each day. Go to dongufeng.net/week now to enter in the 5 contest categories. Fan award voting continues. The current categories are favorite guest star, appearance for one episode, and favorite episode writer. As always, you can join the Dongu Feng forums at dongufeng.net/dfforums. One other note, also if you like to write, you can submit a fan article to Dongu Feng. Email those to webmaster@dongufeng.net. It can be about anything Avatar that you want. And now for the second discussion's epic.
Avatar has created an animated short called School Time Shipping, which can be found at nick.com/avatarshort with the password Ko. The concept of the short is that all the characters are in chibi form, and all go to the same school. It's pretty much for the Avatar fans exploring some of the different ships made by us. Also, we'll be discussing the end of the short, so if you haven't seen it and don't want to know what happens, don't listen to this part or watch it first. Okay, so Jake, what are your impressions of this short?
It's very funny. It does explore a lot of the different ships, and I think it kind of makes fun of the ships in a way.
Yeah, it does. Also, I really liked it.
Yeah.
Good tribute.
It's really good.
A good tribute for the fans.
Yeah, especially with our long wait we got going here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually written by one of the co-creators, Mike DiMartino, if you did not know that.
Yeah, pretty much the whole cast of Avatar was on it, too. All the voice actors were the same. Music by the track team.
Yeah.
So, this was pretty much shipping. Short.
Yeah.
So let's get into some of the ships that were explored here. Some are just silly and some might actually happen. So first is Sugi and Sokka, which pretty much has already happened and been happening, yeah, depending on what's happened to Suki.
Yeah, it's always, you know, depends on Suki right here. Obviously, you can't have a relationship with a dead person, so we can hope that Suki is still alive. We all hope that it is, and she is.
Yeah, and I'm almost positive she's still alive.
Yeah.
And so,
Azula is not a murderer.
Well, she did kill Aang.
Well, that's true, but...
I like the Suki and Sokka ship. I think it's good for Sokka and Suki, too. Both have that there. And definitely having a relationship balances out Sokka's personality.
Yeah.
Which at times can be a little extreme.
Yeah, and definitely in the Season 1 episode, Chapter 4, the Warriors of Kyoshi, when they first met.
Yeah.
You know, Suki pretty much gave Sokka a different view on women. Mm-hmm. And that was neat from there, and kind of their relationship just sped up from there. Mm-hmm. And Season 2 got a little more intimate, so to speak. Sokka and Suki actually kissed on screen in 212, Serpent's Pass. Mm-hmm. Episode pretty much furthered their relationship, and just the entire Sokka times Suki,
About the Serpent's Pass was that Suki tried to kiss Sokka before, during the night, though. And the moon, which is Yue now, was out, and he didn't want to have that in front of her.
Yeah, and
that's good.
Sokka was staring up at the moon before Suki came over to him in that segment, too, which is interesting to note.
Yeah, and that's good segue into the next ship that was explored within the short, which is Yue and Sokka.
Mm-hmm.
And that started, of course, when they went to the North Pole. And pretty much a romance from the beginning when they met each other.
Yeah, love at first sight.
Mm-hmm. Yue was, of course, engaged, so she kind of was reluctant to have this romance with Sokka.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she did really like him.
Yeah, and Sokka really liked her.
Yeah. So. And then, of course, at the end, Yue gave her life up so the moon could be there. And all waterbenders could bend again.
Yeah, and had that not happened, Sokka and Yue would probably be together today, because, you know, her fiancé was thrown overboard by Admiral Zhao in the finale, Season 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there is that whole scene where Yue says, "I will always be with you." You know, the very memorable scene in the Book 1 conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the kiss at the end.
Yeah.
And Sokka's probably always gonna remember that, even if he is with Suki.
Yeah.
Be a little haunting to him.
Yeah. And it was even revealed in Season 2 that he thinks about her all the time, you know, in the episode The Swamp.
Mm.
He even saw her in the swamp.
Yeah. Things might have changed since the fourth episode of Season 2, but still probably thinks about her a lot.
Yeah. So, if she was around, though, I think this would be the most likely pairing for Sokka right now, over Suki. But
depending on who's around, really, most of the time.
Yeah, since she's gone, though, Suki's pretty much the only one left for him.
Yeah.
Unless you're a Tylock, a shipper.
That wasn't really explored in the ship, so we won't get into that today. In the short.
Yeah.
Okay, and pretty much the main focus of the short was all the different guys trying to take guitars to the dance. Which was probably by the creator seeing how many ship guitar with, how many people.
Yeah.
And of course, the first one is Aang and Katara. In his explored in there when Aang first wants to ask Katara to the dance. And Aang and Katara is probably major ship in the show. even if you ship it or not. It's been around since the first episode with the why are you smiling at me like that, or whatever that quote is. And one of the more likely ships to happen if it isn't already.
Yeah, and they also foreshadowed it in pretty much the first 5 minutes of the series when Aang woke up to Katara.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty much a neutral shipper, but I think Katang is the most likely ship to happen. Zutara is dead, pretty much, I'd say, from the finale.
I wouldn't say dead, but definitely damaged.
Yeah, and damaged at least.
And I am a Katang shipper, so I'm going to be a little biased here. Some of the major points of their relationship were, of course, the first episode, when he woke up to her, liked her from the beginning, wanted to go penguin sledding with her.
Yeah.
And then, next one would probably be, well, there are many minor points of this I could go on all day about, and I will.
Yeah.
Not now, though. And in fourth episode, in Kyoshi Warriors, pretty much a Katang episode the whole way.
Yeah. The main focus there was obviously Sokka and Suki, but Katang was present, definitely.
Yeah. Actually, I think the main ship was Katang, because the whole episode was really Aang's impressing the little girls, and Katara was jealous. They're both jealous.
Yeah, that was really the first, one of the first moments for Katangers in the entire series.
Exception of the first episode, but...
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know then.
Yeah.
Okay, and the next episode, really where some major Katang points were Winter Solstice and the Spirit World and Avatar Roku episodes.
Yeah.
How much Aang was trying to save Sokka pretty much for Katara. And didn't want to disappoint her, and Katara hoping he'd be back.
Yeah, there was that whole scene there where Aang's stuck in the spirit world yet, and he is listening to Katara pretty much say, you know, he better come back with my brother.
Yeah.
Like, so he's even more that determined to get Sokka back. And then later, when he comes back without him, he's obviously ashamed. And Katara's disappointed.
Redeemed himself, gets Sokka back out, of course.
Yeah.
At the end. Okay, now let's skip all the way to the fortune teller.
Yeah. Which, big Katanger.
Oh, yeah. One of the major episodes again, where pretty much the whole episode is focused around that.
Yeah.
And that Katara really wants to know her future, that she'll marry a very powerful bender.
Yeah.
Aang thinks that's him outside listening.
Yeah, that scene was very funny.
One of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, of course, at the end where Katara comes to the realization that Aang is a powerful bender. It may have been him.
Yeah. Sokka says, I forget how... I think that kid is a powerful bender, something like that.
Yeah.
She's like, I guess he is. Yeah.
And then, moving along.
Yeah.
Probably.
The next episode, I'd say. Bateau of the Water Tribe.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, one of the more minor ones, but still up there.
Aang gave Katara back her necklace.
Definitely at the end of that one, and Zuko.
Yeah.
And Zuko told me he gave this for you.
Would you give him a kiss for me?
Then we missed it, the fortune teller at the beginning. Aang makes Katara a necklace.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. That necklace didn't appear too much in the show.
Yeah.
Seems like they forgot about it after that first scene.
And
I don't remember seeing it after that.
They do that to a lot of things, so.
Yeah. So.
And then, probably after that, I guess we could say the deserter, where Aang hurts Katara firebending.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he has to, he's really upset about that. And that's where she discovers she can heal.
Yeah. That's definitely one of the more minor ones, but it still had Katang in it.
Maybe, actually, it could be major, not just the scene in there, but how really disappointed and upset Aang was after that.
Yeah, and he swore that he would never fire bend again.
Yeah, all for her.
At the end, yeah.
Then, after that, I'd say, yeah, the three episodes at the end of the season, probably, we can all put together.
Yeah.
Where Aang's sticking up for Katara, when Master Paku says that she can't, he won't teach her.
Yeah. Well, there is the, a minor scene where, after Katara tells Master Paku off, Aang just say, I don't think she meant that. But then Katara, or then Sokka, rather, just says, yeah, I think she did.
Isn't that more of like a comedic scene? Not really.
Yeah, it could be.
I think Aang just definitely wanted to, he knew that was his only route to waterbending.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, I guess let's skip to book two. And, of course, Cave of Two Lovers.
Yes, very big Katanger there, too.
Yeah, my favorite episode.
Yeah.
So, the whole episode, Katang. Especially when they're in the cave, and they kiss, and they do kiss, and I can't emphasize that point enough. And I think even more important than that, because people could just say that, well, it's to get out of the cave.
Yeah.
I think probably my favorite scene in the whole show is at the end when Aang looks at Katara while the hippies move off, and Katara looks down and blushes.
Oh, yeah.
One of the first major ones that Katara at least has some feelings for Aang romantically.
Yeah.
The Avatar Day. Avatar Day, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When in Aang's captured in the prison, and that really funny scene with him asking prisoners on what to do, Katara.
Yeah. And you're a real catch.
you should go for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, emotional prisoner was crying about it.
Definitely.
Really thought Aang should go for it.
Yep. And then moving to a lot of these episodes, Katang episodes, are grouped together, and there's a lot of space in between some of these two.
Yeah.
I'd say the desert, the next one. Katara, of course, has to comfort Aang when he's mostly distraught that whole set of episodes.
Yeah.
And she continues to be the only one that can get him out of the Avatar state.
Yeah. She has that whole, did she have the conversation with him in that episode, or was that the next episode? That's right. She has a whole big conversation with Aang about why he doesn't seem to care anymore.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure if that was before or after. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was next episode, Serpent's Pass.
Yeah, okay.
And then, of course, Serpent's Pass, it could be said Aang admitted his feelings for Katara. But I don't really think that scene was all that big with how I feel about Appa and how I feel about you.
Yeah, you don't think so?
It was more of a friendship thing, really. Katara took it like that, at least. And it's all about how Katara takes it. I don't know, but you never know what's going on inside her head.
Yeah, that's true. Girls can be crazy.
Yep.
And no offense to the female listeners out there.
Wait, because Katara could just put on the happy face here to keep, the group together, because actually one of the bad things about Katang is it could kind of destroy their mission a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Definitely some...
Yeah. Oh, Sokka could always get together with Toph. That's a popular ship, too.
Yeah.
And there is a bit of an age difference, but... Mm-hmm.
But there is with Katang, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Not that much. Yeah, well,
98 years.
Yeah. I'm thinking more out along the 2-year line.
Yeah.
The end of the Earth King.
Yeah.
Where Aang's about to really admit his feelings for Katara and Sokka interrupts them.
Yeah. Good old Sokka.
But it's the first time we actually know. Katara realizes it, and she kisses Aang on the cheek after that.
Yeah. And then there's the whole scene with Sokka is anxious to get back to Suki, and Aang goes, yeah, girls are waiting for us. He gets that dazed look on his face.
Yeah, that's really...
wonder what he's imagining.
I just think he's thinking about Katara. Not at that age yet.
Mind out of the gutter. Alright.
And then, so the most big thing would be the season finale.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The Guru, where Aang states he loves Katara, which people could argue that's a little bit strong for having maybe some puppy love for her, but...
Yeah.
Well, still. But maybe also it's backed up by all of their moments. Love is now centered with Katara. And that she's giving that all towards him. That's how he feels that way to her. So that's what also could support that he does love her. Not just likes her.
Yeah. And at the end when he was he sensed that Katara was in trouble, he took off.
Yeah.
Quitting his training with Guru Pathik and pretty much just fleeing to go help Katara.
Yeah, that shows how emotionally attached he is to her.
Yeah.
And that pretty much, at this point, he would do almost anything for her.
Yeah.
But not anything as seen in the Crossroads of Destiny.
Yeah.
At the end where he almost gives up Katara in order to master the Avatar State, but doesn't.
Yeah.
As stated by Nick.com.
Yep.
Unless I get contradicted again. But, yeah, and then pretty much you know that he had pretty much know he didn't give her up at the end when after Katara brings him back to life.
Yeah.
And then they look at each other and then hug, so.
Yeah.
Both smiling.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's pretty much episodes with Kat Aang in it. Can't believe we did that. Good, though. More time on the way. Okay.
Yep.
Next, moving on, is Jet and Katara. Pretty much two episodes to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, it's presented in the short when Jet's one of the, along with Zuko and Haru, is pretty much like the bad boys trying to get Katara. And
yeah.
And one of my favorite lines in the thing is, I like your hair loopies in there.
Yeah, that's a reference back to the 5th episode of Book 2, Avatar Day, where Sokka calls them hair loopies.
Or maybe just in general, because also during the commentary of the DVDs, creators talking about her hair loopies a little.
Yeah.
And how they made it and tied it back so that it wouldn't like be affected by the wind. Be affected.
Yeah.
But of course there's wind in all the episodes, so they have to make it moving anyway. Yeah, and Jet and Katara originates in Jet, of course, when they meet her, and Jet pretty much, don't know how to say this, Jet tries to get Katara, and they have a little bit of romance stuff there, but not really.
Yeah.
Pretty much like...
he manipulates her, pretty much, yeah.
Like the beginning of teenage relationships, a little.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then, not much there, but then, and then, Katara very upset at the end with Jet.
Yeah.
So, betrayed me and stuff.
Yeah.
All comes back in, like, Leo guy.
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, the opening scene there, she wasn't too happy to see Jet.
Oh, no. As well, I love that scene, too.
Yeah.
Throws him up to the wall, and then beating on him or something, and Jet being brainwashed, of course.
Yeah. And you see, Sokka seemed that he wasn't as surprised to see Jet as Katara was.
Yeah.
even though in the episode that Jet in season one, Sokka seemed to be very disappointed with Jet.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like rivals a little.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much, though, Sokka not wanting anyone bad to be with her, with his sister.
Yeah.
And sibling guardianship there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, other scenes in Lake Laogai. Well, Toph says to Katara, "Was he your boyfriend or something?" Katara says, "No." And then, "You're lying."
Yeah.
And so they're a little bit, but that also shows that Toph's lying thing, senses can be flawed and can't tell the exact truth.
Yeah.
So a little hope for Jet there at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And then Katara, her viewpoint changes totally on Jet by the end when she's torn that he is seriously injured.
Yeah.
Might die.
It's interesting, though, many fans have questioned why Katara didn't use her oasis water on Jet. We find out, obviously, later she used it on Aang, but...
Mm-hmm. And some say some people say that also on Zuko, too, so she could have used it on Zuko, but what I think is that if she did use it on Zuko, Zuko wouldn't have turned on them, and Aang wouldn't have died anyway.
Yeah, that's my viewpoint. That's true. On that. Yeah.
So Katara pretty much passed on two other guys and then used it on Aang.
Yeah.
Not that really a representation of relationship, but...
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I can go to prove Katang, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Along with a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
At a point, you just have to start ignoring some of the small stuff.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it for Jet Tara.
Yeah.
Next will be Zutara. Where it's brought up in the ship when, again, Zuko's in that group of three bad boys. And then, "My heart is burning for you." That was great.
Yeah. That was actually pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. And then betrayed at the end by his alter ego.
Yeah.
A little bit of play on the fan-creator relationships, Blue Tara, and then Zutara, too.
Yeah.
And actually, let's go through support on Zutara. Can't believe I'm doing this, but... there is, actually, a lot of small things that could turn into big things.
Well, tell me.
If I can find them. I usually only remember cutting stuff.
Uh-huh.
From the imprisoned to Bato, when Zuko finds Katara's necklace, I guess there could be a little symbolism there, if you're strongly Zutara.
Yeah.
And then, really, another thing that only would make sense if you're a strong Zutarian is that he follows the scent to find her, even though he's really trying to find Aang, but a little something there.
And many Zutarians have noted the scene where the animators have Zuko's hand on Katara's butt.
Yeah.
And they see that as a little bit of Zutara there. Mm-hmm. Don't know if I buy that, but...
Yeah. His hand wasn't on her butt. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, continuing... I'm probably going to skip over a lot of stuff, so... The chase, okay, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
At the end, when Katara offers to heal Iroh, and he says, "Get away from me," or something. I think that's more anti-Zutara.
Yeah.
You could interpret it as being four, though. As Katara offering to help Zuko.
Yeah, and also, earlier in that episode, they do refer to Zuko. You know, Katara questions who's in the machine that's following them, and said it could be Zuko. And then, when Toph asks who's Zuko, Sokka replies just a... I don't know the exact thing, but it was just a moron with a ponytail or something. Something around there.
Something like
and
then, that.
Yeah, and Katara defends him. That's used often by Zutars. as evidence.
Let's just skip to Crossroads of Destiny.
Alright.
Where, of course, they're stuck in the thing together. And
yeah.
They actually do have something in common where they both lost their mothers to the Fire Nation.
Yeah.
As a lot of Zutara is, mainly the basic theme is opposites attract. They have
yeah.
a major mm-hmm. thing in common there.
Yeah.
And then, where Katara offers to heal Zuko's scar. And if that happened, that would have been huge for Zutarians. But that didn't happen.
And bad for Katangs.
Nah, not necessarily bad for Katangs as much as good for Zutarians. Doesn't really hurt the evidence that we've got.
And what if Zuko and Katara would have hooked up after that?
But they wouldn't have, because they're enemies. Even if they did.
Yeah.
Aang would have gone crazy. That wouldn't have been good in Season 3.
No.
And I forgot actually a piece of evidence for Katang, where, maybe this is huge, a major one, where Iroh goes to hug Zuko after Iroh and Aang infiltrate the underground place in Ba Sing Se. And then Aang goes to Katara, and they face each other, and Aang makes a face to Zuko. It's great. It's like, don't steal my woman. And I didn't actually realize that first couple times I watched it.
Yeah.
A little bit of thrown in by the creators there. For us again. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. Haru and Katara. This should be easy, considering Haru's a one-shot character.
Yeah, and I hope he does not come back.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Yeah.
Especially since he's in the video game.
And,
painful video game to play through.
Yeah.
The only good thing was it was Avatar, so.
Yeah.
And, Haru, of course, in the ship, and part of the group with, Zuko and Jet. And.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Yeah, and of course, at the end, after Katara kind of rejects Haru by saying in the ship that he's too sensitive. And then we'll get into what happens after that later. So, in the show, Haru and Katara goes on when in the episode in prison. That's the episode Haru is in.
Really, Haru is really the first guy other than Aang that is a love interest for Katara. At this point, really, Aang isn't really looked as a love interest to Katara, so to speak.
Yeah.
More that just doesn't happen
at that point.
Yeah. That happens more a little bit later in the show.
Mm-hmm. And Katara goes out to save Haru and them. And I think it's more sentimental saving the Earthbenders than it actually is.
Yeah.
Her liking him.
Yeah, cause she does say that I won't leave these people behind. Doesn't say I won't leave Haru behind. Yeah. Says I won't leave these people behind.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Not much to talk about there.
Yeah. It is funny though when Katara does reject Haru by saying he's too sensitive.
Yeah.
Because that is what many fans feel, and pretty much the general consensus between Avatar fans. Haru's just too sensitive for Katara.
Yep.
She needs a man. She needs a real man.
Yep, and she's 14.
Yeah.
Okay. Move on to one that I actually haven't seen much before. Haru and Tylee.
Yeah, I've never seen this one before either. That was a surprise.
Yeah, from the creators. Good job there.
Yeah.
And then, so, after Katara rejects Haru, then Tylee just randomly comes up and says, I like sensitive guys, and then Haru chops off the head on the statue and puts Tylee's head on it.
And Tylee's desperate for a date.
Yeah. And then Tylee starts kissing him and stuff, and they fall off.
Yeah.
Those were pretty funny there, too.
Yeah.
And there's no evidence of all of Tylee and Haru.
Yeah. They haven't even appeared in the same season.
Yeah. How many episodes apart away are they? That's the 6th episode in season 1, Imprisoned. What does Tylee come in on?
She's the 23rd. Third of...
Issue, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a 15 episode difference.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, of course, the ending to the ship is this short, is that...
Yeah. Very surprising ending.
Yeah, Aang makes that, though, in the cloud, in, pretty short Chinese characters, saying...
Yeah.
Will you go to the dance with me, Katara, and Aang? And then she says, I'd love to go to the dance with you,
yeah,
but I'm already going with someone else. And it happens to be the Blue Spirit, Luffy's alter ego. Which doesn't make sense, but makes sense in its own way.
Yeah. I don't think that's really Zutara foreshadowing at all. It's just to be funny.
Yeah, definitely. Don't make anything of that, anyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Zuko says didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, especially funny.
Yeah.
And no real evidence for that.
Yeah.
So let's wrap up the shipping part of this. Move on to some of the great quotes in the thing. And here are my favorite three. Are that, don't make me use my moon powers on you by Yue when she fights with Suki. Which you've heard
when
introducing this segment.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hey there, I like your hair loopies, which I says that running to Katara.
Yeah.
And then, my heart burns for you, and Zuko, also chasing Katara.
Yeah.
Any other ones you like there, Jake?
And just the one that I said before about Zuko saying, didn't see that one coming when Katara walks off with the Blue Spirit. That was a funny one there.
Mm-hmm.
And also the quote with when Katara rejects Haru, rather.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Like, you're too sensitive for me. So.
Yep.
Yeah, there were a lot of good ones, though.
Definitely. It's a great short.
Yeah, it was.
Great job by the creators.
Yes, very good.
Okay, now some of the concepts in the short are Iroh being the guidance counselor. How great is that?
I'd like him to be my guidance counselor.
Yeah. Well, he gives advice to everyone in the show.
Yeah.
Aang, Toph, Zuko, pretty much the three now.
Yeah, he's very wise and in his old age. He's gone through a lot and he knows a lot from that.
Great character.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And probably the other, we'll get back to Iroh in a minute, but the other real major thing there was Toph only had two appearances for a split second.
Yeah.
And I don't really think that's much other than that.
Yeah.
It was. Just they didn't feel like having Toph, because again, this is why I don't think she'll make it through season 3. She doesn't really belong. What's she going to do in that short?
Yeah, that's... I mean... Well, well, Toph has a couple of major real ships out there. She's shipped with Sokka, and she shipped with Aang.
Mm-hmm.
And Sokka really... He wasn't in this short much at all, either, was he?
No, but...
Parts with Suki and Yue at the beginning there, but...
And he was enough to be a major character in that.
Yeah, but...
But Toph wasn't much there. I guess if they wanted to make it longer, they could have put Toph, Aang, and then Toph, Sokka, too.
Yeah.
That would have been a little much.
Yeah.
Okay, and the major thing to come out of this actually was Greg Baldwin is Iroh's new voice actor. And I think he did an amazing job in this. I can hardly tell the difference.
Yeah, I actually did think it was Mako doing it at first.
Mako, yeah.
Then, like, he died a long time ago. He's been dead since last July.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
So, like, yeah. Greg Baldwin, he is actually credited as additional voice for the Earth King and the Tales of Ba Sing Se, where Iroh has a little bit of a voice change.
Yes. And I think one other point towards the end of season 2, I just can't remember what it is. he fills in, but...
Yeah.
So, and then also, in response to this, his talent agency... His talent agency, SPV, confirmed that he is the new voice for Iroh. Good of them coming out. Just not making us wonder. Is it is he or is he not for a while? But I'm pretty sure I had that answered.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to add to this, Jake?
No, just remember we do have two more shorts coming out of this after this.
Yep. As confirmed by the track team in an interview.
Yeah.
Which of course makes the music for Avatar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This has gone on long enough.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our second discussion topic, which will be the first four episode and speculating on their names.
Alright. My contact in Nickelodeon has revealed the first four episodes titles for season 3. They are, in order, The Awakening, The Headband, The Painted Lady, and Sokka's Master. Now, in The Awakening, the season premiere title, what do you think will happen?
Well, I think it's actually a very general title. Aang's going to be awakening from his death, literally. They're going to be awakening from the Earth Kingdom being destroyed. And, well, yeah.
Yeah.
A
lot of people have been saying that this episode will have Aang just waking up. But I wouldn't agree with that, because that's too much like the season 2 premiere, where Aang just woke up from his nightmare. I think that it'll be something different.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not exactly sure. Like, possibly they just awaken to the fact that the Earth Kingdom has been defeated. Ba Sing Se is now in Azula's control.
Okay, yeah. Now what's going to go on in the episode? I think I think this is going to start from right after what happened last time. I think they're going to be flying away. I don't think anyone's going to be waking up, actually. I think it's more of a figurative thing.
You don't think they'll be going anywhere? They'll be anywhere in particular, or they'll just be flying around?
I think they'll be flying away, and, well, of course, there'll be one scene, and then they'll be somewhere else, but the opening scene, it's going to be very important to what happens.
Will the Earth King and the Bosco still be with them?
Well,
or will they have dropped them off somewhere?
Right after. I think it's still going to be right after, but so they'll be with them. I'm actually really interested to see what's going to happen with them.
Yeah.
This could be one of those things that the creators, like, kind of forget about and then have a quick solution to in one episode.
Yeah.
You have any real opinions on what's going to happen?
Not really, no. I just think it's probably just going to focus on how they awaken to a world where Ba Sing Se is now not under their control, not an ally in the war, and now they have to go at it alone, and pretty much with the Water Tribes as their only ally, and Bumi, of course, and Umashu.
Yeah, I think Bumi's going to be huge in this season.
Yeah,
I just have a feeling.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, okay, the second episode will be The Headband.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is probably the most tricky one. What does this mean?
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, a lot of people online have connected episodes 302, 303, and 304 all with Suki.
What?
No. I've read that a couple places, and that's interesting, definitely, but I don't think that the headband, this episode in particular, refers to Suki.
No, I agree. Headband.
It is an odd title.
Yeah. I don't know what it's referring to. I think it might be something that's introduced in that episode.
Yeah.
Because we don't really have any headbands right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what will go on is pretty much a guess now with such a broad title.
We're pretty unsure right now.
This looks like a filler episode to me.
Yeah.
But
that's possible. Yeah.
My theory in the beginning of season 3 is that most of them will be filler episodes, but there'll also be strong character development episodes.
Yeah.
So
that's possible, yeah.
So if you look at it, The Awakening is probably Aang Painted Lady's probably Zuko. Sokka's master's probably Sokka. So, the headband.
The Painted Lady could refer to Katara, possibly.
That's true.
Or Toph.
So, headband. This could be maybe Toph, Katara. Moving on to the Painted Lady. This is... I think this is the most intriguing episode name of them all.
Yeah, it's... I think it's the one that you can speculate the most about, because it's one of the most creative titles, I'd say, so far.
Yeah, definitely. And the theory I liked the most was that this is Ursa, the Painted Lady.
Yeah, I've heard that theory too, that it's Ursa coming back, Ursa's episode. Sokka, or Zuko, rather, is going to look for his mom, Ursa, in Season 3. This could be an episode where he finds her, or at least starts looking for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the other lady, really, this could be, is Katara.
Yeah.
I don't know what it could mean, though.
And it could also be Avatar Kyoshi. Avatar Kyoshi did have the painted face, and as to the Kyoshi warriors as well, but...
Yeah. I'm not really sure, though, how Kyoshi would have her... what role she would play at this point.
Yeah.
Other than Nick.com apparently saying she lived for 230 years.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I don't really know if I believe that one.
Yeah, which I don't believe anything from Avatar Escape.
If you just, if you think back to Chapter 4, the Kyoshi leader said Kyoshi was dead for, like, centuries. That would imply at least 200 years.
Eh.
Going with this game, it's about 170 years that she was dead, so...
Yeah.
I don't buy that, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, back on topic.
Yeah, so... what will go on in this episode? This could be another Zuko alone-type episode.
Yeah, that's possible.
Or it could just be... where she comes back.
Yeah.
Maybe she comes back to Zuko. Maybe we learn more about her history.
Yeah. That would be really good.
Yeah, I'd like another one of those episodes.
I think honestly, this is probably a new character or new something.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that we will meet, because usually Avatar titles refer to something new. You know, like the Deserter was a new character.
Yeah. So mostly,
so on.
Probably all our speculation for all these episodes goes to waste, but...
Yeah.
Okay, next is Sokka's Master.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sokka's Master. Suki, maybe?
Yeah, but...
Again, I've heard that theory.
Who could it be? I don't know. I just can't think of anyone, Sokka even having a master.
Yeah. The only people I've heard of is Suki and Hakoda, who is Sokka's father.
Yeah, that would make sense, more on...
Yeah.
His father. I like that, actually.
I do think it might refer to another new character.
New character,
though.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
And then what will go on, I guess you can infer that Sokka will receive some type of training.
Yeah.
But it won't be bending training. Stop with that speculation, please.
Yeah, everyone. He is not a bender. No. I have confirmation on that.
Yes. Even without it, it's...
Yeah, it would ruin his character.
Definitely. It would... Especially with the whole plot in Season 1 about him not liking bending.
Yeah, and the interesting IMDb plot summary, if you've seen that, it has
an earthbender. Ugh. How is that even possible?
I don't know.
Yeah, and sticking with, I think bending is genetic, so that would be impossible.
Yeah.
And I could go on a whole rant about that, but not right now.
Yeah.
That's actually a good topic for next week. We'll consider that.
Yeah.
So, anything major, you think, happen? First four episodes?
Well, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think middle of the season we'll probably get into, like, the solar eclipse and stuff like that, but I don't think anything major will be in the first couple episodes.
Solar eclipse might not even be a factor anymore.
That's true, yeah.
This is all I'm knowing about it.
Yeah, but she doesn't know when.
I'm pretty sure she could figure it out.
Yeah.
She's very smart.
There's not much she can really do to stop it now, is there? If she loses her bending...
That's true. Okay, yeah, but she could stop them before they attack.
Yeah, she could. It's all possible.
Think major character development in the first four episodes.
Yeah, definitely.
I kind of see Katara's character getting a little more loosey-goosey. She might be a little less uptight. She's going to have her hair down, I think.
Yeah.
And Katara's due for some character development. That's pretty much why a lot of people don't like her. Which I don't understand, but...
Yeah. Katara's been... Criticisms are, like, she's a Mary Sue or something.
Yeah,
like,
but she's not.
Perfect character. I don't think that's right.
Not even at all. She's way too angry.
Yeah. Yeah. And
then, Aang, I guess. Again, four episodes, what could really happen?
Yeah, well, obviously as more information comes out.
Yeah.
But right now, this is all we're stuck with.
Yep. And then, I guess, last thing to wrap this up, Will. Where will they be at the end of the first four episodes? What location?
Well... I do think it's probably a little early for Omashu. I think they will revisit Omashu at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the first four episodes, it's a little early.
Yeah, I agree, but the only thing holding me back on that is that how early they went to Omashu in season two. By the third episode, they were there.
Yeah.
So I think they could be in Omashu by the fourth episode. Not doing much, but there.
Yeah, that's true.
They need a place to land. Where are they going to go?
Yeah. Where are they going
to
go?
I think they're going to go place to place. All these new characters and stuff.
And it's possible they might revisit Guru Pathik at the Eastern Air Temple.
Possible.
That's a theory out there.
But I doubt it. And so I think where they have to go to start preparing to invade the Fire Nation is either Omashu or the Northern Water Tribe again.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're done with the Northern Water Tribe at the end of the first season.
I think they might actually head back to the Southern Water Tribe.
Yeah.
There are a lot of waterbenders down there that went with Paku down there.
We'll
revisit Kana, who is Katara and Sokka's grandmother.
Yeah.
So in the first two episodes. And we'll see how the rebuilding is going down there.
Yeah. But as far as preparation for invading, not much to do, really, unless something else comes out of this. They're in a really bad position right now.
Yeah.
And on that bad note, let's wrap up this discussion topic and heading into the closing. Okay, that's it for today's podcast. Remember, any questions, comments, advice, you can go to us by clicking on the feedback link, which can be found at the podcast page at dongbufeng.net, which is dongbufeng.net/FTSW. Credits for the show. I've been your main host. Jake has co-hosted with me today. AJ wasn't here today, but he is still our technical director, and segment change music and background music, a lot of them are by him, edited by me, and of course Jake runs dongbufeng.net.
Yeah.
Visit there. Can't stress enough, we need some more contest entries.
Yeah. Definitely get your creativity on, folks.
Yep. We'll probably get some prizes going somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Bye, everyone.
All right.
See you next week.
See you later.